All right, how about the good, the bad, and the ugly? Welcome back to the No Panic Zone. I'm Steve Guru. This is the Steve Guru Show. We'll start with the good. Something good to start with here, and that is that school kids are returning to school in Fort Worth, Texas. Fort Worth, Texas. The intermediate school district sending elementary school kids, bilingual kids, back to class, elementary kids, because they don't have the devices to work remotely. And, of course, school kids are in no danger whatsoever of this illness, so why not go ahead and send the kids back to school? The chance of them getting sick is somewhere right around zero. Just wanted to emphasize, you understood, it's zero. Send the kids back to school, you idiots. Well, there you go. The Texas Education Association listing all of the student groups as children of the districts may consider prioritizing the availability of on-campus summer programs. So at least 300 to start, another 1,000 or more will be joining them shortly. These kids are bilingual kids or English as a second language kid. They need to get back in the classroom so we can get them taught. And again, there's no danger to them. So this is a big step forward. It's a big common sense move for folks, right? A big common sense move. And so there's the good news. There's the good. Here's the bad. A third of Americans now show signs of clinical anxiety or depression. That according to the Census Bureau. People being locked in their homes for months on end has a very negative impact on those people. Go figure, right? A very negative impact on those people. And over time, it wears people out. A third of Americans showing signs of clinical anxiety or depression. The most definitive and alarming sign yet of the psychological toll exacted by the coronavirus pandemic. It's time to open the doors. End the lockdowns now. The science is becoming overwhelming and indisputable. The fact of the matter is to continue lockdowns now is mean-spirited or ignorant or both. When asked questions normally used to screen patients for mental health problems, 24% showed clinically significant symptoms of major depressive disorder and 30% showed symptoms of generalized anxiety disorder. The findings suggest a huge jump from before the pandemic. For example, on one question about depressed mood, the percentage reporting such symptoms was double that found in 2014. Double. We've doubled depression. We've doubled anxiety. What part of that do you not understand? Open the doors. Let people go back to work. Let people get started. Not gradually, slowly. No, just do it. You want to wear a mask? If it makes you feel better, knock yourself out. If you own a business and you don't want people coming in without a mask or whatever, then go ahead and make that so. But if masks work, why isn't everything open? And if they don't work, why wear them at all? Pretty simple stuff. At any rate, the depression, the anxiety, worse in places like New York City and Michigan, because those folks are forced deeper and deeper into the dark hole, into the abyss. No socializing. It's worse for children. The damage being done to children is terrible. The stories I hear about children breaking down crying because they can't take it anymore. They can't see their friends. They can't go outside and play because some of their parents are overzealous. Good God, open the door, people. Open the door. But here's the door you need to close. Here's the ugly. Close the door on the refrigerator. I'm just saying. The average American gaining more than 5 pounds thus far. It's nice to know I'm above average. Nice to know I'm doing my part to be above average for once. 5 pounds, just over the average weight gain for Americans since the quarantines began. Congratulations, everybody. Those gyms sure would be doing a bang-up business if they were allowed to open. Of course, we're going to stay fat because the gyms will be out of business, bankrupt, destroyed by governor's policies of lockdowns and nonsense and disruption. Oh, yeah. The weight gain during the coronavirus outbreak reveals that the average adult put on 5 pounds or more beginning at the quarantine. Nearly two-thirds of Americans feel they've been eating more unhealthy foods compared to just a few months ago. That's true for me. You didn't lock yourself up with kale. You locked yourself up with Oreos and Pringles. Attaboy. Way to do it. You need to get back on an exercise regimen. You need to find nutrition that works for you. You need to get your act together because you don't want to continue this way going forward. It's all that. And then that comes back to increased guilt. Too much guilt. All right. Last thing here, and doubly ugly, I guess. A new book claims that Bill Clinton, the former president, had a long-term affair with Ghislaine Maxwell, the longtime right hand of Jeffrey Epstein, his assistant, the woman that procured young women, allegedly, for him to have sexual relationships with. Ghislaine Maxwell apparently had a long-term relationship with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton would jet-set around the world, not because he cared about young sex partners, but because he cared about her as a sex partner. Apparently, they hooked up several times in New York, according to the book as well. A Convenient Death, The Mysterious Demise of Jeffrey Epstein, by Alana Goodman and Daniel Halper. It comes out on June 2nd. You can read all about it. Bill Clinton having a long-term affair with Ghislaine Maxwell. I mean, can you imagine? I'd rather not, but I mean, in fact, I think I find it a bit disturbing. But as be that as it may, Clinton used Epstein like everything else, according to sources. In this case, Epstein was being used as an alibi while he hooked up with Maxwell. The relationship between Clinton and Maxwell, not confined to overseas junkets, that continued in New York City. This is an excerpt from the book, where Clinton, on multiple occasions, visited Maxwell's own private townhouse at 116 East 65th Avenue, an $11 million pad that runs a touch below the 7,000 square feet, much more modest than Epstein's palatial townhome. Maxwell purchased that place, by the way, for $4.95 million in 2000. Life wasn't so bad for her back then either, now was it? It's 25 after. There's something to sink your teeth into. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the really ugly. 25 after. Still coming up on the program, Dr. Tom Borelli will join me. Devin Nunes, the congressman from California, will join me a bit later on the program here on the Steve Gerber Show, right in the middle of the no panic zone. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.